The Lisa Wexler Show podcast is brought to you by Jill Zarin Rugs. Did you know that Jill Zarin Rugs are water-resistant and pet-friendly? Go to jillzarin.com and use the promo code FRIENDOFLISAWEXLER for an additional 10% off. Also brought to you by Onboard Services. For your staffing and engineering needs, go to onboardusa.com.
It's time. Time for stimulating talk. Time for thought-provoking conversation. Time for the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600. Turn on your brain and get the real scoop on today's topics and events. Here is Lisa Wexler.
Patching the roof and pitching the hay is not my idea of a perfect day. When you're extraordinary, you gotta do extraordinary things. I'm not the type who loses sleep over the size of the compost heap. When you're extraordinary, you think about extraordinary things.
Welcome on a Friday. So one of the things that I love to do, and I really try, and I know you want me to, is to scour the news for good news. I have so many people in my life who complain, Lisa, we love your show, we want to listen, but you know, we're so tired of tuning into the news every single day and finding out the bad stuff. Can't you tell us some good news? And here's what I'm going to tell you. Yes, I can tell you some good news. Today, I have some fantastic news to tell you, and I'm going to open with it. So last night, a little bit of background. In my life, this is our seventh year running. I am so privileged to host the Accorda Scientific Excellence Award program. What is that? That's Saturday mornings, tomorrow morning at 7:30. We'll have a brand new show for you. They're ongoing here on WICC, but this is in our seventh season, and it's a unique science award in that not only does the award-winning student, and they are open to Fairfield County and Westchester County and Putnam County students, high school kids, not only do they get this beautiful purple plaque and their name on their high school lobby in another plaque that's on the wall, but the really cool aspect of this award is the opportunity to speak on the radio about their research, and they get a half-hour interview with yours truly, and we put it up not only online but obviously on the air, and it's there in perpetuity, and it's marvelous because this research doesn't really get stale. It's usually ongoing, exciting research. So because of that, and because of my involvement with Accorda Therapeutics, which is a biotechnology company based in Ardsley, New York, I and my husband Bill received an invitation to one of the most exciting evening events that I've ever attended. This is my second time being invited. It's called the Galleon Awards. The last time I went, I had the pleasure of actually meeting Elie Wiesel, who has since passed, the great humanitarian who was one of the guiding lights of this award. And the Galleon Awards are awards given among the science, the biotechnology, science, pharmaceutical community to their own. The judges are Nobel laureates and leaders of our finest scientific research labs and academic institutions in the country. And it is really a big deal. I mean, I saved the program from a few years ago when I was invited, and last night the awards happened again. We were in the whale room, you know, the whale room in the Museum of Natural History, looking up at the whale. That's where the awards are given out. It's very, very illustrious, truly accomplished people that are famous for the right thing. They're famous for their lifetime of accomplishment and brilliance and service to mankind. And so they only have three awards that are given at night. And the three awards are for the best new drug, the best new medical technology, and the best new biotechnological advance. Only three. That's it. They keep it real simple. There are lots of nominees for this awards, and it's a big deal who wins, because it is really foremost a significant prize that is chosen from among the most elite scientific peers to one of their own. So, you know, and the brain power in the room, like you can feel the little gray cells buzzing away. So I'm going to tell you the good news, because I'm going to tell you about the three winners last night and the unbelievable scientific advances that are happening right now. You know, for all of the negativity that we know about and that we hear about in the world every single day, one of the few true bright spots that we can point to in this age is the development of our genome and the development of our understanding of the human body. And hopefully that will lead to an improved quality of life as well as quantity of life. And hopefully it's going to lead to an improved understanding of a human being's relationship with nature and animals, because I am excitedly waiting for a lot of these improvements in technology to expand beyond our myopic interest merely in the human race and to expand as well to climate change and our interaction with nature and the problems that we're causing and the havoc that we're wreaking by our warming of the planet. But right now I'm going to focus on human beings, because these are three extraordinary things I want to tell you about. So the first winner for the most significant and exciting new medical technology device is something called Free Libre. Now, Bill said he'd seen commercials about this all the time. I hadn't. But if you're a diabetic, you probably already know about this. Free Libre is a brand new product that puts a little sensor on your arm, on the upper part of your bicep on your arm. And it's like a sticky kind of a sensor. And what it does is it accesses the little bit of fluid right below the skin around the cells. And that sensor can tell your sugar level. So if you're a diabetic, all you need to do, and this is true, it's just like, you know, it's just like McCoy Bones in Star Trek. You take your phone and you put it over the sensor or somehow next to the sensor, and the phone will tell you your sugar level throughout the day. So think about a diabetic and think about the many, many people who suffer with diabetes or gestational diabetes. My cousin had gestational diabetes twice. It was very scary for her. And she had to prick herself constantly throughout the day to know exactly what her sugar level was, to know about her insulin, to know, you know, whether she needed to eat or how much to eat, or whether she needed to take medicine or not to take medicine, or whether she needed a glass of orange juice or not to take orange juice. And this pricking is so, I mean, think about someone's life, how invasive it is, how awful it is to have to prick yourself all day long. Free Libre, brand new technology, says you don't have to do that anymore. Not only that, but the sensor is created in a way that you can share this information with up to 20 people with their own iPhones. So somehow the data can be sent not merely to, in other words, if I am using my own arm, I can immediately send the data to my mother, my father, my nurse practitioner, people in Florida, people in California, my doctor, whoever it is that wants to know about me can also see it in real time when I am. So think about how that has improved the quality of life and healthcare for millions and millions of people, not only in this country, but worldwide. So that was the Numero Uno Award. And that award was given, hold on, let me find out who the person was who invented. Oh, Abbott. Abbott Laboratories. I think they're based in New Jersey. They invented Free Libre. That was the first award. The second award, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show, 203-333-9422. We're doing Friday, so we're doing good news. And I'm telling you about the Galien Awards last night at the Museum of Natural History, which are given for the greatest biotechnological advances per year, every year. Fantastic event. So the first award was for diabetes and the improvement with the sensor. The second award, this is like so cool. The second award was given to a company called Sparks Technology. Sparks. They invented the first FDA-approved treatment to change your gene. Okay, they insert like a virus with a vector to change your gene for a specific rare disease of the retina that causes blindness. So for this population of people that can't see snowflakes, that can no longer read, this is a genetic deterioration over time that usually causes complete blindness. And you're born with the gene. There's nothing you can do about it. It unravels over time. There used to be nothing you could do about it. Well, Sparks Company invented this new drug called Luterna. They sell it for $850,000. It's $425,000 an eye. But it is a one-time treatment. And when you take this drug or this treatment, however this treatment is given, you can see again. So insurance companies are paying for it because they are literally curing blindness. And that was the other winner. And when you think about that, so the woman who got up to say thank you and who won, she said, this is it. This is the cutting edge. This is the first way we've been able to translate the unraveling of the genome into a pragmatic, workable technology to cure disease. In other words, before this, it was abstract. People believed it could be done. Now, and these are American companies that have shown that it is being done. So, and the thing about, it's called Luterna. The thing about this drug is that they say that this technology, now that it's been done, may be able to be replicated for all kinds of genetic deformities, genetic defects that people are born with that cause them great suffering throughout their lives. So this is another extraordinary thing. So that was the second one. And the third one was GlaxoKline, and GlaxoSmithKline, they won for the development of a new vaccine for adults for shingles. And the reason that they won was because the announcement was that this particular innovation represented a great advance in vaccines for adults as opposed to the vaccines that are routinely given to children. So that was the third one. So you had one for the best pharmaceutical, which was that one, the best new device, which was the sensor that enables people with diabetes to no longer have to prick themselves all day long to see about their sugar level. Instead, they can just take an iPhone up to their arm or an Android or some device. And then the third one, as I said, was this cure for blindness. I mean, it's the most extraordinary thing. 203-333-9422. It's called Luxturna. And that's the blindness one. And let me just tell you a little bit more about it. It's Spark Therapeutics. It was approved by the FDA last December to treat a rare inherited retinal disease that leads to blindness. The company is based in Philadelphia. And they have also decided that obviously they want people to have access to this if you can't afford it. So they know that although it's very innovative and it's very expensive, they want people to be able to afford it. They say it affects between 1 and 2,000 people in the United States. It is a mutation in a specific gene called RPE65. And in clinical trials, patient sites were assessed by their ability to navigate an obstacle course in different levels of light. And those receiving Luxturna showed significant improvement in their ability to do so after a year. Patients who participated said they reported seeing snowflakes for the first time or being able to read again. And what they're doing, which is really innovative and interesting for all of us to witness, is various insurance plans are saying, okay, you want to charge that amount of money for a drug. We're willing to pay for it, provided that it works. So, for example, Harvard Pilgrim is a nonprofit health plan that covers 1.2 million people. They say that they'll cover this treatment, Luxturna. However, Luxturna agrees to pay a rebate back to Harvard Pilgrim if the patient's vision doesn't meet certain thresholds in 30 to 90 days and then 30 months after treatment, a model now known as outcomes-based pricing. And Novartis is doing that as well for their drug Kymriah, which is a form of leukemia, which is also very expensive. Gilead's Yescarta, which is a CAR T therapy, being approved by the FDA as a gene therapy. These are for to help your immune cells fight your own cancer. Again, a lot of these drugs are very expensive. They need to be expensive in order to, frankly, pay the company back for the enormous costs that it takes to go through all these clinical trials to get FDA approval to begin with. And they also subsidize the cost of a lot of drugs that don't work at all. Because, in other words, pure research, you never know what's going to happen until you try and do it. But the companies are willing to put their profits on the line. They're willing to say, okay, If this doesn't work, we're going to give you your money back. 203-333-9422 on the Lisa Wexler Show. We have a Connecticut filmmaker we'll be talking with this show. We're also going to be talking about, I think there's a howl and prowl. It's some kind of Halloween event in which you can also adopt dogs going on in Greenwich. So we'll chat about that in a little bit as well. And then we'll get to other stories. We've got other stories in the news. You know we've got to discuss. It's a Friday. I'm Lisa Wexler. Feel free to call in and cheer. 203-333-9422. Hola, bola. Welcome back. 23 minutes after 10 on a Friday. 203-333-9422. And we were chatting about so much good news, and it's wonderful. And listen, the biotech industry is a bright spot because you've got all these scientists and people in the world, researchers and brilliant doctors, and they get together and they try and find solutions. And I'm all about that. I'm all about trying to find solutions. 203-333-9422. You know, we've got to find a solution too. There was a story today, and there's going to be big. Big newspaper coverage of it in the coming week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The Hearst publication, which seems to be on a roll, the Hearst newspapers around here, they seem to be on an investigative roll. Their last investigation of the Boys and Girls Club and culminated in a tremendous amount of knowledge and revelation about history of sexual abuse that happened in all of these Boys and Girls Clubs. And now we see the news in New Haven today that these poor families are caught completely unawares. They had no idea they'd be given no lead time. All of a sudden, the Boys and Girls Club just closed. And that presents a really distressing situation for many working families whose kids go there in the afternoon and the parents know that they're well cared for and they're having fun and it's very reasonably priced. But no more. And one of the reasons that we're seeing so much of this happen is because the, the chickens are coming home to roost? Is that the cliche? But essentially what happens is you've got lawsuits against these organizations and it bankrupts the organizations because how much can they keep paying and paying and paying for past wrong deeds, which are admittedly, you know, happening or have happened? The organization at some point collapses under the weight of its past. And that's a terrible shame. I think it's a terrible shame for everybody. But, you know, it doesn't mean that the victims shouldn't get compensated. And they clearly want to get compensated. And the laws are providing that they ought to get compensated. But the reverberations are that many different particular institutions no longer have the funding they used to have. They can't do the programming they used to have. So It's an issue for all of us in society. It isn't merely an issue between one wrongdoer and one victim. 203-333-9422. But in the midst of all that, Hearst Publications has also been doing a comprehensive survey in looking at the Connecticut Commission on Human Rights and Opportunities, known as CHRO, to determine the extent of workplace harassment. And what they've concluded in a review of 100 of these CHRO complaints, is that we really have a problem here in Connecticut in terms of the consistency of data and the harassment complaints of women in the workplace. The analysis, according to Hearst, indicates that 54% of the reviewed complaints involved verbal sexual harassment, while there were claims of unwelcome physical contact in 25% of them. An alarming 12% were reported as an actual assault or even rape. And in 28 of the 100 cases, the victim reported being fired. Many others quit. Now, remember, these are just the tip of the iceberg because these are the people that decide, you know what, I want my day in court, so to speak, and I'm going to report this to CHRO. But how many people among us would rather forget, rather repress, feel like there's retaliation, feel like they can't get a recommendation to move on in the world, feel like they just want to put it behind them? Remember, sexual misconduct, sexual assault is the most underreported crime there is. They estimate that only 1 in 5 ever get reported, much less when they're reported actually being addressed in a way in which the victim feels that there's been some justice. Hearst reports that the incidents are just the lighting of a fuse, which can burn for months and years, fueled by threats and retaliation, loss of income, depression, and the raw pain of broken trust. 203-333-9422 on the Lisa Wexler Show. So I invite the beginning of a conversation. If you'd like to call and talk about your own story of sexual harassment in the workplace. Now, if you're really brave, you can talk about being accused of sexual harassment in the workplace. Wouldn't that be cool if somebody called to talk about that? But perhaps you've been a victim of something like this. The closest that I can think of this to happening in terms of an actual real story, and I think my sister would back me up since it happened to her, and she has no shame in talking about it. So my sister was always very attractive. She's a beautiful girl, always was. And she worked in the menswear business when she got right out of college. And she had a large bust, as we do in our family. I have a large bust, my sister, my mom. We're blessed that way. The idea of augmentation never crosses our minds. It's rather reduction that are the conversations around our kitchen table. Anyway, Jill was beautiful and young. And she was in a men's world, in the menswear business. And her boss labeled her bust the twins when she would walk down the hall. They actually had a name for them. Oh, here are the twins. Instead of Jill, you with me? They labeled that part of her anatomy the twins. And they had a great time kidding about the twins, ribbing her about the twins, complimenting the twins. They had a great time. And you're talking about now probably 30 years ago, right out of college, a young woman in a man's world trying to make her way on commission. She had to grit her teeth and smile a lot, sort of put up with that kind of banter. Now, today, let me ask you this. Today, is that a form of sexual harassment? To have a woman's part of her anatomy named the twins as she's walking down the hall and have all the men kid about it? A little embarrassing, isn't it? It's certainly inappropriate, isn't it? It's obnoxious. Is it sexual harassment? Today, I think it would rise to the level of sexual harassment. Today, I think CHRO would consider that an inappropriate and unwelcome contact and tell the boss to lay off. But you wonder whether there would be some kind of inevitable retaliation. And the retaliation could be very subtle. For example, the retaliation could be no more lunches with the boss, no more mentoring by the boss. No more giving the great accounts, no more assignment of opportunities to make a good living or a better living because she wasn't willing to go along to get along. So, okay, we'll lay off some of the harassment and we won't be good pals and buddy buddies with her, but she's no longer in the in group. That's the kind of thing that happens. 203-333-9422. That's what really happens in the real world. It's much more subtle. Now, in this case, what Hearst is reporting is that fully 28% of people were fired. Hello, excuse me. How stupid can you be? That's pretty obvious and damaging and damning. But in many cases, it isn't as obvious as that. It's being passed up for a promotion when somebody else is almost as good as you and can make a good persuasive argument, but really shouldn't have gotten the job. Or if you're in sales, you really don't get the account that you were hoping to get when somebody else retires. That's what really happens if you dare to make noise and speak up. And so Jill didn't. She did eventually, though. I'll tell you what happened with my beautiful sister. I'm talking about Jill Zarin, one of the original Real Housewives of New York City, and our sponsor, because she has started a fabulous company called Jill Zarin Decor, and Jill Zarin Rugs are part of that empire, and I think that they're marvelous. In my home, I can tell you that they're marvelous. And I'm really proud of my sister, and I remember when this happened very distinctly. So with these same bosses that labeled her anatomy the twins, one day they just decided they would cut her commission. And I'll never forget, she told me the story. She said, Lisa, this is what I told them. You can call me the twins. You can F with me about anything you want, except money. Don't ever F with me about money. And in the end, she stood her ground and she got the money somewhat that she thought she was entitled to. But it never was exactly what she was worth. And she ended up quitting. Let's go. Do we have one caller, Christian, before we go to some messages and then our guests? We'll take one call if we're talking about sexual harassment or biotechnology, something fun and wonderful. 203-333-9422. It's a Friday. Hope you have great weekend plans up ahead. In the next hour or so, I'm going to tell you some wonderful things we can do in our community as we explore the beginning of the Halloween venture that happens next week. October 31st, finally a holiday that isn't on a Monday. It's actually on the real day. Let's go to Ronnie. Hi, Ronnie. Welcome to the show today. Hello. Thanks for calling from Fairfield. Hi.
Thanks, Lisa. Listen, I missed one of the things that you were talking about. The awards you went to are fabulous.
Diabetes. Ronnie, you need to turn off your radio, sweetheart, okay?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay, because we can hear a delay. It's a little distracting.
Yeah, I realize that.
That's okay.
Diabetes, blindness.
Yes.
And I missed the third one.
Oh, diabetes. Oh, the third one is a shingles vaccine for adults.
Shingles vaccine, okay.
And it's gotten a tremendous amount of accolades for its effectiveness.
Yeah, is that different than the other shingles that are vaccines that we've been taking?
I don't know. I think it's called Shingla or something like that. I can find out the exact name for you. Give me a minute. I'll find it out for you. Hold on. I have so many notes here, and the problem is I have too many, and I can't find them when I need them, and that's what it is. But
great
I will
show
find
you
it.
Have. Great show.
Thank you, Ronnie. Thank you very much. I know it begins. I know it was invented. It's called Shingrix. Shingrix.
Okay.
And it was developed by GlaxoSmithKline. It is the FDA-approved vaccine for the prevention of shingles in adults 50 years and older.
Yep. Okay, very good. Thank you so much. I appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome, Ronnie. You're
bye
welcome.
Bye. Yep,
bye-bye. Okay, one more call. Have we got one more call on this? And then we're going to get to Josh Roth of Pet Pantry Warehouse, and we'll talk about a wonderful opportunity to adopt dogs and in connection with the celebration of Halloween. Christian, are we going to the caller? Or Christian? Christian is really deeply involved with the caller right now, so I'm not sure I'm going to be doing that. All right, let's do this. Let's go to some messages. You're listening to The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600, WICC600.com. Okay, so in the last half hour, we've had a bunch of calls. Some people don't want to be online, but they want more information. So let me tell you, the winner of the Galien Award for the best biomedical product is a product that was invented by a company called Abbott Laboratories. But you will know it as this. It's called Freestyle Libre. And the product is a product that substitutes for having to prick yourself all day long with needles if you're a diabetic to see your sugar. Instead, it's a sensor. You put it on your arm. You take your iPhone. You swipe yourself. And it tells you what your sugar level is. And not just you, but for all your friends and relatives and caregivers who want to know it too. So let me tell you how to find it, because we've been getting swamped with calls with people. So let me just tell you how to find it. Ready? Get your pencil and your paper. Here it is. It's called Freestyle. F is in Frank. R-E-E-S-T-Y-L-E. Freestyle. And then the next word is Libre. L-I-B-R-E. Freestyle Libre. They have their own, if you just Google in your browser, Freestyle Libre, it'll take you to insurance companies that cover it, but more importantly, look right for its own website, okay? And actually, if you're not a web person, and some of our listeners are not, let me see if I can't get a telephone number for you. And then you can call them and find out about this, because we still have a fair number of listeners who are not that plugged in to the tech world. So let me give you the telephone number. And again, all I'm doing is giving you a telephone number from the web that purports to have you contact the people who make Freestyle Libre. 1-855-632-8658. 855-632-8658. And then obviously talk to your doctor. I'm not your doctor. Maybe it isn't the right product for you. Maybe there are limitations about your disease that you can't use the product. But that's the product that won as the best biomedical innovative product among the peers in the biotechnology world. And now we're going to turn to Dorothy, who wants to tell us a story regarding modeling and sexual harassment. Dorothy, welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. So what happened to you?
Well, years ago, many years ago when I was young, I did showroom modeling. And that's, they would have market weeks where the buyers would come in and look at the merchandise. This happened to be fur, and which I'm dead set against now. But there were two owners. Let's call one Willie and the other one Sam.
Okay, Sam and Willie. I love it. Go ahead, Dorothy. Yeah.
So I went in, and it's usually a 2-3 week gig.
Okay.
And so you go in, and you're supposed to do nothing but sit there and wait for buyers to come in. I couldn't do that. I get bored.
Okay.
I started cleaning up the place. I went into the office. I started going through the files, refiling things, organizing everything. And I couldn't sit and do nothing. I had to make myself useful. But he's used to, I guess, a lot of the other models. Let him get away with
what? Hello, Dorothy? We just lost
there. I'm just trying to put it. He would try to do things that were not appropriate.
Okay. And you felt the victim
way.
Of
oh, yeah, thing. Definitely. Yeah.
Did he put his hands on you? Did he put his hands on you?
Yes.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Yes, and I would run away, and he would. It was like in the old movies where you run around the tables.
Yes, you're.
Yeah, that's what it was like.
That's
it was
what it was like.
Old tables, but that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
He had a partner who was a real doll, and I went into the back and I spoke to him and I said, "Look, Willie, Sam, if Willie keeps doing this, I have to leave."
And
he talked to him.
Yeah.
And it stopped.
It did stop. Well, that's good.
Not only did it stop, but they kept me on full time.
Really? Well, that's, you know what? It sounds like you handled it very well, and it sounds like the guy wasn't overly defensive, and he realized he was inappropriate. That's a good story, Dorothy.
Thank you.
That's a good story. All right. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. And thanks for listening. Let's go now to Josh Roth of Pet Pantry Warehouse, which is apparently putting on a howling good time for people who love animals. Speaking of animals. Hey, Josh. Welcome to the show today. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. So what's happening in Pet Pantry? And this is the Pet Pantry in Greenwich?
Yes. So the Pet Pantry Warehouse is founded in 1945. Actually, next year will be our 75th anniversary. But for people that have been customers for us for a long time, they'll remember we had our original location down on Railroad Avenue in Greenwich. But that has since closed. There will be a power station at some point.
Yeah, Eversource forced you to move, right?
Right.
I know.
But we did open another location still in the Greenwich area. We're in Riverside. Right off of Exit 5 on Putnam Avenue.
Okay.
So we are still in Greenwich, which we were very excited to be able to continue. One thing that I wanted to mention before this conversation gets too far is we have some unfortunate rain coming for this weekend, so we are rescheduling for next Sunday.
Oh, 3rd. Well, I'm glad you told us. Yeah, I know. I'm hearing, you know, the thing about the weather is, you know, you just never know. It's like the one job that you can have and be wrong all the time and still get back to work the next day.
I know, so, I know. The one thing with the forecast, we've been seeing a 99% chance of rain that hasn't really
gone away.
Gone
That's going to be this Sunday. That's nice for me to know. I'm going into the city for a long planned event with 7 other people to go to a show. That's great.
So
really
you'll be better to be inside.
I'll be inside.
So the event will be next Sunday, November 3rd, from 1 to 4.
Is it still Howl and Prowl?
It is. Yes.
And what makes it Howl and Prowl? What are you doing for people?
So Howl and Prowl is an event that. That we created 12 years ago. This is our 12th annual. There's an organization local to Greenwich and the Westchester and Fairfield County areas called Adopt a Dog. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar
with that. Yeah, I know it well, very well.
They're a great organization founded by Donna Knives and her husband, who are a local Greenwich philanthropist for a long time. But they are, for us, sort of, our first point when we think about raising money, and you know, a big part of our mission as a company is to is to make sure that we're doing that over the course of each year. They've had an event called Putting on the Dog for many, many years, closing in on 30 years.
I know. I broadcast from it 1 year. I had a great time.
Yeah.
Great.
So that's been going on for a very long time.
Yeah, that's at the local park. Yep.
Yep, right down on Roger Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been the lead sponsor with that event for many years. And, you know, we just wanted to create another event to kind of spin off from the success of Putting on the Dog and be able to do something fun. Putting on the Dog is a pretty big event. This is a lot smaller. We started our first year, and we had a costume contest right in the front of the store, and it was great. People get really excited about it.
So people can bring their pets, and they can be in costume and win some prizes. Are there dogs available to be adopted at Howl & Prowl?
Yeah, so not only can they, but they're encouraged to.
Okay.
I mean, the best part of the whole day, it goes from 1 to 4, and, you know, there's a lot of free giveaways and stuff like that, but the best part of the day is the costume contest. and so, you know, people get really creative. They do handmade costumes, obviously some store-bought stuff. They do
store-bought for pets.
Yeah.
It's a whole
new
industry. Think about it. My goodness.
Well,
okay.
not a whole new industry. We have tons of costumes at the store, so people can stop by.
So when people go trick-or-treating nowadays, do they bring their dogs with them in costume? Is that the new thing?
I mean, I always do.
Okay. Yeah. What do you mean you always do, Josh? You sound a little old to go trick-or-treating.
Well, I have two young children. So.
Do you go with them?
Absolutely.
You know what, Josh? I'm gonna give it to you right now. I think that's wrong.
To go trick or treating with my children?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They're 4 and 2.
Yeah, well, okay. I don't think at 4 and 2 then that they should be going trick or treating, or you should be standing back. When I went trick or treating, I'm a little older than you, but not that much. My parents never went with us, like never. Like the whole point of going trick or treating was we were old enough to go trick or treating or take our little sisters and brothers with us to go with us trick or treating. So
yeah, I live in a wonderful little neighborhood in Eastchester called Bronxville Manor, and it basically the streets get closed off and it's filled with children.
Oh, that's cool.
Ranging from anywhere from the time that they can walk until they're in high school, and so we walk out our front door and we walk around with our kids and we put them in the little radio flyer and drag them around if they get too tired, and we let them run up to the doors.
Oh, okay. So that's cute. And you're right behind watching them. I see.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. That's cute.
Yeah. And it's something that they look forward to. They're so excited about it. They pick out the costumes for us this year. My daughter said that she wanted to be a mermaid. So she told my wife and I that we should be the water. So we're going to be the mermaid.
You're dressing up. It's unbelievable. Okay. I don't know what to say. I mean, you know, last time around, wasn't that long ago, but it was a few years ago now. A couple of kids were trick-or-treating in my neighborhood, and the parents came, and they were drinking beers, and they were just really into it. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, no. We let them go to the door.
Go to the door.
And do the things on their own. And you know, I mean, they love it. Listen, you know, I'm not that old. I'm 43 years old. But when I was a kid, I used to come home from school and jump on my bicycle and be gone until dinner time. And it's a different world these days. I don't conceive of a day where I would ever feel comfortable letting my daughters do that. But
that's a shame, Josh.
A chaperone trip around the neighborhood to let them, have fun.
You don't think you'll ever let your daughters get on a bike and just do their thing after school, huh?
I'm not there yet.
You're not there yet.
I think about it all the time, but I'm certainly,
I know.
I don't know.
I know.
Yeah. It's just
Where did you grow up, Josh?
I grew up in Westchester County.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was in a small neighborhood, mm-hmm. and it was a great place to grow up. And I hate to think that those types of things have been taken away from kids these days, but, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'll feel differently by the time there. I mean, my older daughter's in martial arts right now, so she's a black belt by the time she's 12. Maybe I'll feel fine.
Maybe. That's right. All right, Josh. Well, Josh Roth of Pet Pantry Warehouse, thank you for telling us, and thank you for also letting us know that the Howl & Prowl will not be this Sunday, but it'll be a week from Sunday between, did you say 1 and 4?
Yeah, from 1 to 4, down at 290 Greenwich Avenue, which is almost directly across the street from Starbucks, right on Greenwich Ave. Runs from 1 to 4. There's going to be over $600 in gift certificates that are given out to Pet Pantry for people that win the contest. There's tons of free food and given product given away for pets.
That's nice.
From food vendors.
That's really nice.
Yeah, there'll be some.
You get to try
there.
Different parts of kibble. I like going to those events a lot because I take different samples of kibble, and then I hope that Shana will eat them. But she's become increasingly obnoxiously picky. but you know, these events are good for that opportunity. You know, you get to talk to local pet food vendors. There are people that are locally making and sourcing pet food. It's good.
Absolutely. And for people that aren't familiar with us, I mean, we really put a tremendous amount of emphasis on pet nutrition. So if anyone has any pet nutrition questions, they're not familiar with us, they can find us. We have 7 locations in Westchester and Fairfield counties, starting with the one in Riverside. You guys can find us at ppwpet.com. Again, pet nutrition is a really big thing that is super important to us. So if anyone has any questions about allergies or food issues and anything else, that's what we're there for. So
thanks, Josh. Thanks for being on the show today. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much.
Sure. WICC 600. We'll be right back. It's 6 minutes before 11, 203-333-9422. The final report on the Lion Air crash faults 3 different kinds of entities and people: Boeing design itself, the FAA, and pilot error. Indonesian investigators have delivered a devastating final report on last year's deadly Lion Air crash. Now, this is the air crash. We followed very closely this on the Lisa Wexler show. This was the MAX 8, a horrible design for which Boeing will end up paying millions, if not billions, of dollars. And the lost lives, of course, incalculable, priceless damage to the families of the victims that are gone. The Lion Air crash was the first of 2, the second happening in Ethiopia. And really, what we now know, as you recall, it was President Trump who finally had to order the FAA to order this plane out of the sky. The rest of the countries had already done so. They had said, excuse me, this MAX 8 is no longer fit to fly. Something is going wrong. And when we did our initial read of the investigations, one of the things that I discovered that I was able to tell you about was just how the culture of Boeing, the way in which they covered up internally what they knew to be a faulty design, was so awful, was so horrid. And the FAA as well. And the FAA had been essentially an accomplice of Boeing. So what happened was they had this new plane, and they knew that this device that they had put in the plane was something that forced the plane to go down even when the pilot knew that the plane should come up. Because there was a sensor. It was a faulty sensor on the wing. And the sensor, and this was the important thing to know about the MAX 8, this is why the pilots couldn't save their own planes, even in the middle air. Because for the very first time, the sensor overrode a pilot's putting off of autopilot. So in other words, when pilots are taught to train on planes, they have autopilot, they have different machinery, ways to help them fly. But they're also taught that they can override what the plane is going to do manually. And the way they do this is with the throttle going up. And every time they would throttle going up, the plane overrode them and went down. And that's why the planes crashed. Because the pilots saw that the sensor was malfunctioning and the pilots were powerless to fix it in air. And this was and is a devastating flaw of the MAX 8 design. And the other piece of this that was so damning was that Boeing did not bother to train all the pilots on the new model. They figured if they read the manual that would be enough to know this. They didn't want to pay the money for a week or 2 weeks of actual training on this new model MAX 8 that would have saved lives, because the pilots would have then become familiar with this crazy new way of flying this model plane, and they would have understood that if a sensor malfunctioned, they couldn't fix it manually. The sad part is that we're now learning, this all came out initially, that even if a pilot knew about it, the mechanism required too many seconds of fix, and it wouldn't have ultimately saved the planes anyway. But the fact that they didn't even train the pilots on this meant that the pilots couldn't troubleshoot it, and the pilots couldn't and didn't object to this in the new model. So now Indonesian investigators have issued their report. It's really no surprise. A copy was obtained early by the Seattle Times, and according to the report, investigators found that a new flight control system was installed on the airplane, but that the FAA had not updated this change in time to reassess the safety of the design change. That's big words for saying, you know, that they were completely negligent. The new system, which was known as the MCAS, M-C-A-S, was faulty and, quote, did not adequately consider the likelihood of loss of control of the aircraft. The report criticizes Boeing for failing to detect a crucial software error, failing to provide pilots with any information about MCAS to begin with. And despite their lack of knowledge on the new system, the investigators also blamed human error. They blamed the pilots for not heeding warning signs because there had been a previous flight on that same plane that experienced malfunctions. And that was something unique to Lion Air. Lion Air, apparently one of the most troubled airlines in the world. Not anything you want to go fly in anytime soon. But when the Ethiopian air crash went down, that had not been a plane that previously disclosed those problems. So there was no, as far as I know, there's no human error being blamed in terms of pilot error on the Ethiopian crash. The Lion Air, they're saying, is different because they already knew the plane had some problems. Anyway, that's our wonderful Boeing. That's our wonderful Boeing. One of the bright spots of American manufacturing. Really, really blew it big time. It's 11 o'clock on a Friday. I'm Lisa Wexler. Stay tuned for more. WICC 600 coming right up.